Today's daf is Vamitsiya Daf Vav. We are holding at the very top of Daf of Vav Amid Aleph. We're right in the middle of the sugya of Migo de Chashra Mamona Chashra Shvuasa. There are six rayas, whether Migo de Chashra Mamona Chashra Shvuasa or six rayas that we don't say Migo de Chashra Mamona Chashra Shvuasa, because apparently we're having people take a Shvua, even though the very reason that we're having them take a Shvua is because we're choshed them that they're being somewhat dishonest with their money. So we went through the first three rayas yesterday. Today we're going to go through the next three rayos, and then we're going to discuss the case. Our Mishnah said that if Shnayim Ochsin Betalis, two people present themselves to Beis Din, and both of them are holding on to Betalis, so our Mishnah discussed that the halacha is that they both have to take a Shavua. What if Takva Echad Bifaneinu? They were both holding the Talis, but then one yanked it out of the other one's hand. How does that change the halacha that now only one of them is holding the Talis? And the Gemara is going to discuss how it may depend on the reaction of the other party when it gets yanked out of his hand. And then the Gemara is going to discuss that if yanking it out of the other guy's hand makes it yours, what if instead of physically removing it from the other person's hand, you halachically remove it? You make it hegdish. Does that hegdish does that count at all? Does it actually become hegdish, or does it not become hegdish? Then the Gemara is going to get into the sugya of Takfo Kohen and trying to bring rayas on that last issue of whether making it halachically hegdish, whether that actually works halachically the same way grabbing it would work. So we're going to discuss what about when a Kohen, when you have something that's a suffik, whether it belongs to a Kohen, it's a suffik bechor, and what the status of that is, and what if the Kohen grabs it? Do we take it back from him, or do we not take it back from him? And if the Kohen doesn't grab it, do we still consider it to be Aser Begizav Avoda or not, and how that relates back to our discussion of the Talis? That's going to be Amud Beis. So let us begin at the very top of Vav Amud Aleph. Again, we're still working on the sugya of Migo de Chashra Mamona Chashra Shvuasa. We're bringing the various rayos. So raya number 4, Velahadam Rav Nachman Ashvino So Shvuas Heses. That which Rav Nachman says, that when a person is not Modeb Mitzvahs, a person is Kofar Akol, he denies everything, so he has to take a Shavuos Heses. Why does he have to take a Shavuos Heses? After all, name Amigo de Chashra Mona Chashur Ashvuasa. Why don't we say that if he's Chashur on the Mamon, he should be Chashur on the Shavua as well? Meaning that if he was willing to lie then and be Kofar Akol when in reality He doesn't owe anything. When in reality he may owe money. So why aren't we choshed that he would lie in a shavua as well? How does taking a shavua as his work? So don't you see that we don't say migo de chashra mona chashra shavuasa v'su? And a fifth raya had the tani Rebbe Chiya shneim nishbayin v'notlin mibalabayis. In the case of chenveni al pinkaso meant that a balabayis hires a chenveni to pay his workers. So he asks the chenveni, pay my workers by the day. When you're done paying them, after you have a big cheshbon, you come to me and I'll write you one big check for the whole thing. The chenveni says, okay, I've paid the workers, now time for my big check. The workers say, we never got a single penny from this chenveni. We don't know what you're talking about. We've never gotten paid. So the halacha is, by a chenveni al pinkaso, shneim nishban v'notlin, both the chenveni and the workers swear. The chenveni swears that he has paid the workers. The workers swear that they've never gotten paid. And then they both take mi balabais. The balabais has to pay both. He writes a big check to the chenveni, and he pays the workers. Name Amigo de Chashra Mona Chashra Shvuasa. How can we allow these people to take a Shvua? Obviously, we suspect that somebody's lying over here. So how does the Shvua help? These people are all Chashra Mamona Visu. And a sixth Raya about Amigo de Chashra Mona Chashra Shvuasa. Hadam Rav Sheshes Shalosh Shvuos Mashbino. So when a person is a Shomer Chinam and he claims Gneva Veda or Ones or anything like that, that he's Potter, he claims that it was stolen, let's say, in a Shomer Chinam, is Potter on Gneva Aveda. So he says that he's going to be Potter because it was stolen from him. We make him take three Shavuos. Shavuos Shalo Peshatiba. He has to take a Shavua that he wasn't negligent. Shavuos Shalo Shalachti Bayad. He has to take a Shavua that he didn't do his own Malacha with it. As Rashi points out, Lasos Malachti Di Shalach Bayad Avi Gazlan Alei Umechayev Bonsei. If he was Shalach Yad, it may be that it got stolen later. Doesn't matter. As soon as he's Shalach Shaleach Yad, he becomes a gazlan, he has kinyane gazela, and lightning could strike it, he's going to have to pay for it. It doesn't matter at that point whether it's his fault that the animal got lost. A shomer chinam is not allowed to be Shaleach Yad. Vafilu nensa birushusei kaima. Vididehi, even if it's a total onus, once he's Shaleach Yad, it's his responsibility. So he has to swear that not only was he not negligent, but he was never Shaleach Yad, and back in the Gemara, Shvua, She'ena Bereshusi. He has to take a Shvua that it is no longer in his Rishus, that it is in fact taken out of his Rishus. But in that case as well, if we're making him take these Shvuas, it's obviously because we don't fully trust him about what happened over here. Name Amigo de Chasha Manu Chashva Shvuasa. Why don't we say that since he's Chashar on being dishonest with the money, we should be Chashar him that he's dishonest with the Shvua as well? Ella, the only conclusion we could draw from all of this is lo amrin amigo de chashra amona chashra shvuasa, that we don't say that just because a person is chashra amona that he's chashra shvuasa. Shvuah is much scarier than mamon. When it comes to mamon, a person always thinks I'll always have the opportunity to return it. When it comes to shvuah, lo yinaka, as Tos pointed out yesterday, when it comes to shvuah that the olam nizdaza lo sisa, the whole world shook when we heard about this issue of lying under oath. So Chashra Shvuasa would take a much much more significant type of Rasha than the type of person who is Chashur Mamona. Now Tos points out on the first point that we made today about the Shvuas Hesis. Rav Nachman says that the guy has to take a Shvuas Hesis. So Frek Tosos, we had said by Shvuas Moda B'Miktsas that it's not a Raya at all. That the fact that a guy takes a Shvuas Moda B'Miktsas, that even though we're the only reason we're making him take a Shvuas is because we think that he may not be telling the truth, that he only owes $50 and he may really owe $100. That's why we have him take the Shvuas. That's not a Raya. That Migo de Chashra Mona is not Chashra Shvuasa, because maybe such a person is not even called the Chashra Mamona. Why is he not called the Chashra Mamona? He's telling us he owes $50, he really owes $100. We assume he's stalling. If it's a stall tactic, then we don't assume he's Chashra Mona, we assume he plans on giving it all back, but later, as soon as he's able to give it all back. Frank tells us, why not say the same thing by Kofar HaKol? Tema Ha'acha Nami Mishtamit. By Kofar HaKol, can't it be that maybe he has nothing and he's stalling and that's why he's denying everything? Rav Nachman requires the Shvuas Hesis by Kofar HaKol in all circumstances. Even if he's asking for a particular object and he's pointing to it, it's in your house. So you can't say a svara of ishtamit that, oh, maybe he's lying, but he's only lying because he's stalling for time till he can get it back. No, there is no stalling for time till he can get it back, till he can gather the money. It's there. It's right there. If you want to tell the truth, if you want to come clean, you would just give it to me right now. There is no reason to be stalling in that case. And Rav Haigon says the same thing, that even you would even take a Shvuas Hesis on karka. There's no ishtamute by karka. I'm stalling till what? Till I get the karka. The karka's right there. So give him back the karka. So even without the svar of ishtamute, apparently we still say Shvuas Hesis. That's why the Gemara thinks this to be a more compelling raya than a Shvuas Moda B'Miktsas is. Tos raises the question of Akasha, the Berak Shvuas Hadayani Mashma, the Lomachayiv Shvuas Hesis El Mishum Ishtamute, the Kaparach Adrabe, in other Meyuz, Umashani, the Mishtamit. The Gemara sounds Mesach Shvuas that Ishtamute is the only reason that we're Machayiv Shvuas Hesis to begin with. So how can we say that we're going to be Machayiv Shvuas Hesis even when Ishtamute is not a Svara, when there's no Svara that he's just stalling? So Tulsa says it's true. The whole reason we're Machayiv Shvuas Hesis is because we think he might just be stalling, that Amid Rabbanan were concerned he might just be stalling. However, once the Rabbanan instituted Shvuas Hesis, they instituted Shvuas Hesis across the board. In all cases, whether he's actually, there's a possibility that he's stalling, or even if there's no possibility that he's stalling. So mainly you have a case where he's taking the Shvuas Hesis and there's no possibility that he's stalling. It's karka, it's right there, it's in his house, and still he's going to take a Shvuas Hesis, and that ultimately becomes our compelling raya that even though he's Chashra Mamona, he's still going to be believed to take a Shvuah. Abaye Yomer, back in the Gemara, Abaye Yomer, Cheshinan, Shema Milvi Yishana Yesh L'Olav. Abaye is trying to explain the reason for the Shvuah in our Mishnah. Two guys come with a, both grabbing onto a talus. They both take a shvuah. So the Gemara had asked yesterday, why do they both take a shvuah? Just split the talus. What's the need for shvuahs? So the Gemara had said, well, we're worried someone's going to go around grabbing everyone's talus and then say, oh, I own half of it. I own it all, and they'll end up taking half of the talus. So in order to give a little bit of fright to such a person that he should hesitate a little before going and claiming everyone else's talus is his own, so we impose on him a shvuah that he's going to have to know that he's going to have to take a shvuah. Abaye says, no, that's not the reason. Maybe Abaye says that we wouldn't believe such a person with a shvuah anyway. So the guy maybe wouldn't be believed with such a shvuah. If we suspect that such a guy is going to go around grabbing other people's talesim, he'll lie in the shvuah as well. No, there's a different reason that we make him take a shvuah. We're choshesh that shema milvi yeshana yeshlo alav, that maybe this person owes him money from a long time ago, and he thinks that Reuven thinks Shimon owes him money. Shimon forgot about it, so he's denying it, innocently denying it because he really legitimately forgot about it. So Reuven goes and he grabs Shimon talus and he swears that he owns half of the value of the talus, or the whole value. He claims he owns the whole value of the talus, swears that he owns half of the value of the talus, and the reason he says that is because he's owed the money. So, frak the Gemara, iachi nishkal below shvuah. Well, if that's the concern, then let him take it without a shvuah. What's the purpose of the shvuah? Why do we make him take a shvuah? Because if the chazaka now is that no one would go around grabbing other people's talis, and chas v'shalom, klal yisrael or kadosha, we wouldn't do such a thing. No, the concern is the reason he's taking the other guy's talis because the guy owes him the money. So if that's the only circumstance that someone's going to go grab someone else's talis, so good. So let him split the talis. He owes him the money anyway. Let him split the talis without a shvuah. So says Meral Chayshin and Shema Safik Vilva Yeshana Yeshlo Alav. No, the concern is he thinks that maybe the other guy owes him money, and that will be enough reason for him to grab the talis and start this whole case going. So that's why we make him take a shvuah, because that's not so compelling that it's a Safik Milva that he has. V'lav Amrina and Tafas Mamona Misfeka Mishtav. Well, if this guy is going to be a big enough Rasha that he's going to grab someone else's talus, misafik, maybe he owes me money. Well, shouldn't we assume he's going to be a big enough Rasha that he's going to swear on the maybe? I'll swear that I own half of that talus, because maybe I do. Maybe he still owes me the money. What's the difference? If we think that he's going to grab based on a maybe, we should think he's going to take a shvuah based on the maybe. Says Gemara, no, it doesn't work that way. I'm Rav Shesh Brei Dravidi. Parshi inshi misafik shvua v'lo parshi misafik mamona. People will stay away from a safik shvua even though they won't stay away from a safik mamona. Safik mamona, they'll be a little more makil toward themselves. Safik shvua, they're going to be much more cautious. My time, mamon isei b'chazara, shvua leisei b'chazara. When it comes to safik mamon, if he later is doing his books and he realizes, oh, I took something that I wasn't entitled to, so he'll give it back. So a person is not going to be so worried about that. But when it comes to safik shvua, he knows there's no giving that back, there's no taking that back. He's stuck when it comes to a safik shvua. This concept in general, that if I feel that he owes me money, I can go and I know he owes me money, but he doesn't know that he owes me money, then I'm allowed to go and take things from him, bind his back, and make false claims so that I can even the score. When exactly we apply that lahalacha is very difficult. The Marikat is quoted in the Shittim Gupetzas that Shimon swears l'sheker that he doesn't owe money to Reuven, and Reuven knows the truth that Shimon does owe the money. He's allowed to take the law into his own hands and be toface the mammon. He could take the money. So there are a whole bunch of tshuvas in Achronim like this. You have someone declares bankruptcy, so the people that he owes money to get some tiny percentage of what they were actually owed. So you have two religious Jews. One of them is getting a tiny percentage of what he was actually owed, and then the fellow starts a new business, and he again goes back to all of his old suppliers. And so the supplier wants to know every time I deliver him a shipment of whatever it is that I'm delivering him. There's a tshuva in the Betzala Chachma about a paper company. So every time I deliver him more paper, I'll give him 2% less than he ordered, and he won't know the difference. He's not going to count, and I'll be able to sneak. till finally, till we'll be even. Because he owes me all that money, because he declared bankruptcy in the secular courts, I'm never going to get paid. So I'll do it like that, and that way I'll get my money back. That's the truth of the Betzalel HaChachma. So Betzalel HaChachma says, strictly speaking, it's permissible, but be careful, because you know, you're going to keep cutting 2%, 2%, 2% till you owe him, you know, more money. That, so you really have to be very careful. So he says, ma'od, ma'od, it's tzarich lizaher, on something like that, before you take the law into your own hands, to make sure that you're not swinging it in the other direction, and you're going to end up being dishonest in the other direction. But strictly speaking, meikra din, it sounds like one is allowed to take the law into his own hands. This is a discussion, what about in non-dine mamonos issues, when you're entitled to something. You have a kohen is entitled to the first aliyah, the only kohen in shul, but they sell aliyahs. Yom Noraim, so they sell aliyahs. So the kohen knows that they have to give him the aliyah anyway, and he doesn't want to be robbed of his aliyah. They're going to sell it to someone else and ask him to leave so that they can give it to someone else. He's entitled to the first aliyah. Mitzvah v'kidash, though. So he bids up everybody till he gets the aliyah. He says, I'm not paying, it's mine. Why should I have to pay for it? It was something that I'm halachically entitled. I'm just taking what was mine in the first place. So the discussion in Poskim and Shuvas Beis Sha'arim about that type of situation. There's all discussion. If a shul sells aliyos, can they tell the kohen? Magen Avraham says they could tell the kohen to leave. That if they sell aliyos, they could tell the kohen, so you won't get. So you leave, assuming that there's only one kohen. If there are multiple kohenims, then they should sell it to a kohen. Someone just asked me, a rabbi asked me this morning, what's that mean this morning, that someone is naming a baby girl in shul on Rosh Hashanah. So he's a chiyuv for an aliyah. But they sell the aliyahs, and this guy's not going to buy an aliyah. So what do you do? Can you not give him an aliyah? Give him a hagbar, I don't know, so give him something. So you, or just name the baby Stam without giving him an aliyah. To what extent? Now, what we call a chiyuv for an aliyah, it's a little bit of a misnomer. It's a minhag that people who are experiencing certain simchas get an aliyah. So that because it's a minhag, we started calling it a chiyuv, but it's not really a chiyuv per se. It probably the selling the aliyahs. If selling the aliyahs can beat the mitzvah of v'kidashto and tell the kohen to leave, so probably would overpower the requirement of giving an aliyah to someone who's naming a baby. In general, we try to make shalom, try not to make fights on Rosh Hashanah, though if it costs the shul a couple hundred, you try not to make fights, I would think. You have someone else buy it for him. Go over to a guy who's going to buy five aliyahs anyway and tell him, buy one for this guy. Bayi Rabbi Zeira, tak ve'echad b'faneinu mahu. What if one of the people grabbed the talis in front of him? So what happened? There are two people are oaks in the talis, so we're about to tell them that they both have to swear that ein lo b'pachos michatzi, and then you'll split it, and then one of them grabs it away from the other guy. So, hey chidami, what do you mean one of them grabs it? Idishasik, if the other guy just says, oh, okay, I guess he got it, then that's a hoda'a, then we know that the person who grabbed it is the rightful owner of it. And if he started screaming, hey, what are you grabbing that from me? And he can't get it back from him, and the other guy is just too fast, he just can't. So then what's he supposed to do? Why would he lose out just because the other guy grabbed it from him? So Lot Shrichu, the Shask Mekar of a Hadar Tzavach. Now the case is at first he's calm about it, he doesn't say anything, and then he says, hey, why was that okay? And then he starts being Tzavach afterwards. So my, Midi Ishtek Oduyodule, do we say at that moment that he was Shasak, at that moment that he was quiet, that he didn't say anything, even though this item was grabbed from him? So that's a Hodah right away? Odilma, Kivin the Katzavach, Hashle, Gloy Milsa, died the Shask Mekar, Savra Kachaz, Le Rabbanon. Or maybe the fact that he's being Tzavach right now, the fact that he's screaming about it right now, shows us that the only reason he was shasak in the first place was because he figured they were right in front of Beis Din. Beis Din saw what just happened. You saw we were both holding it and the guy just grabbed it out of my hand. Why do I have to be tzavach? You saw the injustice of it all. Maybe that's why he was shasak initially. He assumed that the dayanim were smart enough to realize that something not right was going on over here. So Rav Nachman Toshma, I'll bring a raya. Medvar mamurim shesneim adukin ba. Man hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. When do we say that they each take a shvua that they own no less than half of it and they get to split it? That's if they are both adukin ba. But if one of them has the talis, he's the rightful owner until it's proven otherwise. Say echidami, what exactly is the case? Inem kedektani pshita. If all this Bryce is telling me is that if one guy is holding the talis, so we say amotzi mechaver alav haraya. Of course, we say amotzi mechaver alav haraya when one guy has it and the other guy wants it. Elisha takva echad b'faneinu. It must be that we're talking about a case that why does one guy have it? Because we saw him grab it, and even though we saw him grab it, we're going to say amotzi mechaver alav haraya. So isn't this, and the only way that could make sense is that it's a chiddush, and that it makes sense is if we saw him grab it, and the other party initially was shosek, and then was tzavach. So we say, well, okay, too bad, this guy, you were shosek initially, we take that as a hoda'a, ha-motzi be-chaver olav ha-raya. Says Mar, lo, that's not a raya at all. Ha-chame askinan, gonda asa le-kaman, kiditfis lo-travayhu. Maybe the case of the Brice is the following. They both came to Bezin, they were both holding on to the talus. So we gave the regular pesach. Go, take a shvua, split it. Good, so they have to go out of Bezin, they got to split the talus. Vinafku, they leave Bezin. Vahadrasu, and then these two same characters come back to Bezin. Kitafis lochad minai, when one of them is holding on to the talus and the other one's screaming, kula shali. And Bezin's like, wait, didn't we take care of this already? The same talus, we already had this whole diyun about it. We told you, split it, we gave you the whole... No, Hayamra do you odili, Vayamra Badame Garti Neale. One of the guy that's holding on to it says, yeah, but ultimately he was moda that I really owned it and he let me keep it. And the other fellow says, I didn't let him keep it, I rented my portion to him. Meaning, since we're partners in it, so instead of selling and keeping half the money, we decided such a beautiful talus, we'll keep it intact. And I rented it to him, so I rented my portion to him. So that's why he has it, because he's a renter on that portion. So Damrina Lay, so then we say, no, there's no way he rented it. Ad hashta chashad dele begazlan. Up until now, you've been screaming that this fellow's a gazlan. The hashta mugaris le below saadi. And now you're going to rent it to him without witnesses? Unlikely that you would all of a sudden trust him to rent it to you and make such an agreement without any witnesses if you've been assuming that he's a gazlan until this point. Tosus points out, that we don't say that he's going to be believed with the migo that he could have said he grabbed it from me and been believed because it's a migo b'makom edim, because there's this anan sahadi that he wouldn't have done business with him in this way, and that anan sahadi is stronger than any migo. So we know that there's no way you would have trusted him after all that time. The iba you say makidaktani to us the kaman ki tafas lachad minayu viidach misrach basruche. Or maybe the case was a little bit different. One of them was holding on to the bulk of the talis, and the other one was holding on just to the very edges of the talis. Even sumchus walls that when you have mamon amutal b'safik, you split it without a shvua. Moda sumchus desir chalav klumhi. Sumchus agrees that holding on to the edges is not anything, and that's not the same as holding on to half of the talis. Good. So now says the Gemara, Imtim Tzolomar Takva Echad Befenenu Motzino Sumiyado. If we're going to say that when one of them grabs it, that we take it away from him, Hikdisha Eina Mukadeshas. Well, then certainly, if the one of them makes the other half of the talus hegdish, he makes the whole talus hegdish, including the half that's not his. Certainly it's not Hagdish. If he doesn't even have the right to grab it and take it physically into his possession, and we would just take it right away from him, if he tried to do such a thing, so then it wouldn't be Mukadeshes either, if he was tried to be Makdish the Talis. It wouldn't become Kadosh. But Imtim Tzolomar Takvecha Befneinu Ein Motzino Sumiyado. But what if we were to say the halacha is that if one guy grabs it, that it now becomes his. We wouldn't take it away from him. If he were to physically take possession of it, we would not take it away from him. So, Kedisha below Takva Mahu. What if instead of physically taking possession of it, he's Makdish it? He makes it Hagdish. Do we assume that Kivan Damar Mar Amirasa Lukva Kamisrasa Laidatami commanded Takva Dami? Do we assume that since Amira to Hagdish is the same as Masira to a Hedyot, so by making it Hagdish, that's the equivalent of physically giving it to some, physically grabbing it and giving it to someone else, in which case it would be good? O Dilma Hashtami Ahalo Takva. No, he never physically had possession of it. Uksivishki Yakdish Beso Kodesh, and maybe that's a limitation on what you're allowed to make Hekdish. You're only allowed to make Hekdish that which you have possession of. He never had possession of it, so he can't make it Hekdish. Ma Beso Bereshusav, Kol Bereshusav, Fugay, Haidelo Bereshusav. That way you can be Makdish something that's like your house. Just like your house is in your Rishus, you're only going to be Makdish things that are actually in your Rishus. This item is not in your Rishus, and therefore you don't have the right to make it Hekdish. So that's our question. If the fellow is holding on to half of the talus and he doesn't physically grab it, but he makes it Hekdish, is that Hekdish binding, is it valid or not? Tashma, says Gemara, will bring you a Raya. Da'uma Susa, there was a bathhouse. Da'vu Menatsu Ala Beitrei. Two people were fighting over the ownership of this bathhouse. Hay Omar Didihu, Vahay Omar Didihu. Each one said, it's mine. Kam chad minayu akdisha. Almost the exact same case. One fellow got up, except it's not a talis, it's karka, it's a bathhouse. One fellow got up and he was makdish the bathhouse. Parshi mina Rav Chanani, Rav Oshia, v'kulu Rabbanan. So all of a sudden, Rav Chanani, Rav Oshia, all the Rabbanan, they wouldn't use that bathhouse anymore. They were concerned that it might actually be Hegdish. They didn't want to be Nana from Hegdish. They knew they had a Shaila on their hands. V'amli Rav Oshia, the Rabba, ki azalta kameh de Rav Chista, l'kafri boi minei. So the Rav Oshia told Rabba, next time you go visit Rav Chista, do me a favor, ask him the Shaila, what the story is with this bathhouse. It was under dispute, and one of them was Makdashit. Rav Hamnuna says, well, the truth is, it's a Mishnah. We can be poshet the Shaila from a Mishnah. Why? What does the Mishnah say? Safek Becharos. If you have a Safek Bechar, it's an animal that previously had some sort of something come out of it, and we don't know if it counted as a Vlad or not, and now it has a baby. So this baby is a Safek Bechar. You're not sure if it has Kedushas Bechar or not. Echad Bechar Adam, whether it be by a Bechar Adam, a woman had a miscarriage, and we don't know if the miscarriage was far enough along to have pattered the next one from being a Bechar. You have Shailas like this in Pidyon HaBen all the time, right, where the initial pregnancies are very often miscarriages, and then only later on they have a first baby boy. So depending on how far along in the pregnancy it was, whether you do a Pidyon HaBen or you don't do a Pidyon HaBen. So you have Safek Becharos, even by a Bechar Adam, Echad Bechar Behema, or by a Bechar Behema. So the halach is bein tor and bein tamei, whether it be a kosher animal or a non-kosher animal. There is such a din of a bechor by a non-kosher animal, by a chamor specifically, that there's a din of peter chamor, that the firstborn of a chamor has kedusha, you're supposed to be poda it for a seh, fine, so then it's the only non-kosher animal. And it says bein tor and bein tamei, every other non-kosher animal, there's no kedushas bechor at all. Bechor behema tahora has kedushas bechor, bechor behema tamei, only a chamor. Chamor, for some reason, is a different it's in a different parsha for whatever reason. It's considered in a different category. So halach is hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, that if the kohen wants to get that money from you for your firstborn son, or he wants to get that animal, that bechor, he's going to have to prove that it's in fact a bechor. And therefore, if the Yisrael has it, as Rashi points out, this is what we're supposed to think at this point in the Gemara, the Kasal Kadaitach, that if the Yisrael has it, so the Kohen, who's the Motzi Mechavero, is the one that has to bring a Raya. And if the Kohen takes it and the Yisrael doesn't say anything, and then the Yisrael decides to scream, hey, that's mine, he's going to be the Motzi Mechavero, and he's going to be the one that has to bring a Raya. But Tani Allah, we learned about that case of Safik Bechor, Asurim Begiz of Avod, that it's also Begiz of Avoda, meaning that it has Kedusha Misafik. Even though Motzimir in Dini Mamanis, he's going to have to prove that you got to give it to him. Misafik, it already has Kedusha. Ooh, Vahach, Adam and Takvu Kohen, Emotzin Miyado, the Katari Emotzimir Chavera Lav Haraya. So what's the case over there? If the Kohen were to grab it, we'd let the Kohen keep it. Why? Because Emotzimir Chavero, a Lav Haraya. The Chilo Takvasun Begiz of Avoda. And if the Kohen doesn't grab it, he never physically takes possession of it, it's still Asur Begiz of Avoda. It still has Kedusha. Isn't that exactly our case? What was our case? They're arguing over the talis. If the guy were to grab the talis, it would become his. But if he doesn't grab it and he's instead makdish it, we want to know, is there Kedusha? So that's exactly this case of the Kohen. The Kohen, if he were to grab the Bechor, it would become his. But if instead of grabbing it, it just becomes Kadosh. So we say, yes, it becomes Kadosh. It actually has Kedusha. And it's Asur Begiz of Avoda. Samarle Rabba, Kedushas Bechor Kamrit. How can you bring a raya from Kedushas Bechor? That's a totally different story. Maybe really if a Kohen actually grabs the Bechor, maybe in a Chrami we would take it away from him. And we would say, sorry, you're not allowed to just go grab it. You have no raya that this is actually a Bechor. And guess what? It's still going to have Kedushas Bechor and be Asur Begiz Vavoda. The Kedusha Abba Me'elea, Shaini. The Kedusha that a Bechor has that makes it Asur Begiz Vavoda is a Kedusha that happens automatically. That's not a Kedusha that anyone has to make it Kadosh. See, our whole Shaila by the Talis was, does the fact that if he were to grab it, it would become his, mean that he has the power to be makdashit. That by being makdashit, that statement of being makdashit is like grabbing it, that he has that kind of power. But the Kedusha by the Bechor has nothing to do with his power. He's not being makdashit. It's the fact that it was a petarechem, the fact that it was the first one born out of its mother, that's what automatically grants it Kedusha. Kedusha's Bechor has nothing to do with his bailus. So even if he has zero bailus over it, and he has zero potential bailus, he has no ability. His grabbing it would do nothing. It wouldn't accomplish anything. Still it would have Kedusha, because that Kedusha is an automatic Kedusha. So Amalei Rav Chananya L'Rabbi Tanya D'Masayelach says, I'll bring you a raya that by Safek Bechor, if the Kohen were to grab it, that we would be Motzi in Miyado, that we don't say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Araya if the Kohen grabs it. Motzi Mechaver Olav Araya means if the Kohen wants to get it from the Yisrael, he's going to have to bring a raya. But if he grabs it, we'd be Motzi in Miyado, we take it away from him. And the raya to that is the following. Hasvekos Nechnasen L'Dir Lis Aser. If you have Safek animals, they could be put into the pen for Maisa Behema. But if you say that the Kohen Rav writes on all Sveikos and he could take possession of it and we wouldn't be able to do anything about it, how can you put them in for Maisa Behema? Meaning you're using Mamon Shel Kohen as part of your Maisa Cheshbon. You can't use something that doesn't belong to you as part of your Maisa Cheshbon. When you're taking Maisa Behemos, you have to make sure it's your animal that you're giving for Maisa Behema, not the Kohen's animal. So you see that the Kohen has no rights to it whatsoever. And even if the Kohen were to be tofes it, we would be Motzino Samiyad. That we take it away from him. That would not be the greatest raya. The fact that you can use it for Maiser Behema is not the greatest raya. Because the case might be where the guy has 9 new sheep that were born into his flock this year, and then he's got this one that's a suffolk bechor, suffolk whether it belongs to the Kohen. So manafshach, he's okay to use it for Maiser Behema. The manafshach, if it's his, if it belongs to the Israel, so then he's got 10 animals and he's got to take Maiser, and then it all belongs to him and he's perfectly good. And even if it belongs to the Kohen, well, then he's not chayv and Maiser Behema to begin with. So he's not patering his own animals with Mamono Shel Kohen. He has no chiyuv toward Maiser Behema if it doesn't in fact belong to him. So that's not necessarily a raya. Hadram Rabbi, then Abai went back and said, you know what? It is a raya. My rejection is not a rejection. Lav milsi da'ami. Tisveka lav bari surehi. The halacha is that a suffolk animal is not subject to Maiser at all. Titnan, kafet zechon min amenuyin letochan. Kulan peturin. If let's say you've already counted a number of animals, and halfway through the count to 10, one of the animals escapes. One of the animals that you've already counted escapes, and then it jumps back in amongst the other ones that have not yet been counted. They're all potter. But if you hold that a suffolk animal needs maisros, so then we should take maisro mimanavshach. That if it is a bar chiyuva, so good. So then you're taking maisro, and it's a perfectly valid maisro. And if it's not a bar chiyuva, so then it will become pater through when you count aleph beis gimel, and it's amongst a number of other animals, so it's right to be mashlim the minion. So Dama Rava minion aroi poter. Because Rava says that a minion aroi when you have 10 tzloim and you counted 5 of them and one of them dies, for one of the ones that have not yet been counted dies, the minuyin are already potter. The ones that have already been counted properly, even though Maisu was never actually taken from them, but they've been counted properly, that's enough to potter. So they're going to be potter anyway, and they potter everything else anyway. So it should count me manavshach. So what do we have to say? Why aren't we mechayev him to be ma'aser the behema mimanavshach? Because we assume that when the Torah says you to give ma'aser behema, it has to be a vadai tenth animal, and we don't have to be ma'aser a suffik. And the whole ma'aser over here is a suffik, because even if because if one animal came back in and was only a suffik, so the whole thing is a suffik, and therefore it's not an asiri vadai. So achanami asiri vadai amrachmana velo asiri suffik. So here as well, that's the case that we consider an asiri vadai, not an asiri suffik, and that's why that's why the raya is in fact a good raya. That again, what was the raya? That if the suffik bechor is nichnas for the ma'aser behema, you can use it for ma'aser behema. Why can you use it for ma'aser behema? Because it must be that it's considered yours. It's not considered to belong to the kohen at all. So Abaye thought, no, that's not really a raya. Maybe it's a miman of shach. No, there is no miman of shach, because you don't do sveikos. If you have to give the tenth animal for ma'aser behema, you give only the tenth animal. No suffik tenth animal for ma'aser behema. When exactly we say that when the Torah says something that it's only vadaya, not suffik, and when we just assume that no suffik daraisa l'chumra, so you assume it includes a case of suffik as well. So that's an interesting discussion in the Rishonim and Achronim. But certainly by ma'aser behema, the Gemara says it explicitly that asiri vadaya v'lo asiri suffik. Okay, achsiv achsimatov, Hashem, will pick up over there tomorrow and Rosh Hashanah.